يستطيعون
يغفر لكم من ذنوبكم ويؤخركم إلى أجل مسمى إن أجل الله إذا جاء لا يؤخر لو كنتم تعلمون
يغفر لكم من ذنوبكم ويؤخركم إلى أجل مسمى إن أجل الله إذا جاء لا يؤخر لو كنتم تعلمون
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
And that was the beautiful recitation of the first four verses of Surah Nuh, chapter number 71 of the Noble Quran. And this will conclude this episode, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
A warm welcome once again, dear listeners, from the beating heart of Tehran. I'm truly excited to guide you through another inspiring day on Iran Radio. We've lined up a mix of content, uplifting stories, thoughtful discussions, and the latest global updates, all carefully chosen to enrich your day. So stay with us and let's take a look at what's ahead. Our next program is The Ocean of Dua. An incredibly deep dive into spiritual supplications will reflect on the rich spiritual heritage of Islamic supplications and ziyarat texts passed down from the Ahlul Bayt, as beautifully preserved in collections like Mafatihul Jinan. These sacred texts are a guide for the soul, leading to divine intimacy, moral awareness, and profound reflection. Then it's time for another segment of radio productions. Next up, Spring of Truth unveils the profound vision of Imam Khomeini, May Allah bless his soul. This program presents English translations of selected statements and speeches from the founding father of the Islamic Revolution delivered on various occasions. Following that, the gate of knowledge reveals the timeless wisdom of Nahjul Balagha. This program is dedicated to explaining and illustrating the profound moral, ethical, spiritual, and social teachings found within this incredible text. The Ocean of Dua is coming up later, so stay tuned.
The Ocean of Dua.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters in faith, and all of you who are listening to RIB English Radio. You're listening to the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this program, we try to discuss the different concepts and meanings and try to interpret the passages of different supplications that have been issued by the Ma'sumin, peace be upon them. We were continuing the discussion on the supplication of Sabah, Dua al-Sabah, and let's listen to one passage of this supplication, and we'll be right back, and we'll talk more about that passage.
وبعد عن لحظات العيون وعلم بما كان قبل أن يكون يا من أرقدني في مهاد أمنه وأماني وأيقظني إلى ما منحني به من مننه وإحساني وكف أكف السوء عني بيده وسلطانه.
Okay, the passage that we just listened to from the supplication of Sabah that has been transmitted to us from Amirul Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salam, who was taught this supplication by our noble prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It reads, وَعَلِمَ بِمَا كَانَ قَبْلَ أَن يَكُونَ. This is about Allah that the reciter is talking about. He's saying, O Allah, you are the one who knows what will happen, what will be before it comes to be. So Allah knows everything. He knows what's going to happen before it happens, exactly before it happens. So some people might say, then if he knows what happens, then what about our free will? Why should we think that we have free will? We can just do whatever we want because it's automatically going to happen because Allah knows it's going to happen. But no, that's not the case. We are not compelled to do the things that we can do in this world. Allah has given us free will, but He knows what we will do of our own free will and what's going to happen based on our decisions in this world. So Allah does not force us to commit sins just because, even if He knows that we're going to commit sins, it's something. He has the knowledge of everything. He even knows what you will do based on your own free will. Okay? But it doesn't mean that we are compelled, that we are forced in this world, and we have no control over our actions. The next passage reads, يَا مَنْ أَرْقَدَنِي فِي مِهَادِ أَمْنِهِ وَأَمَانِهِ. The translation reads, the English one that I have right now is, O he who has put me at ease in the cradle of his security and sanctuary. Now, arqadani mostly means to put to sleep, to cause to lie down. تحسبهم أيقاظا وهم رقود. What is this? This is the verse of the Quran. It's about Ashab al-Kahf, the sleepers of the cave. You think that they are awake, but they were actually sleeping. وَتَحْسَبُهُمْ أَيْقَاظًا وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ. This رُقُود, أَرْقَدَنِي, is from the same root, which means to lie down or sleep. Where? In the cradle of his security and sanctuary. So you might think that this is really, you know, symbolic and metaphorical, and it's not something that we have to think physically. You know, like, are we in the cradle right now? Is, like, are we right now, when we're safe and secure, is it the cradle that's causing us to be safe? I'll talk about this after a short break.
Oh, he who has put me at ease in the cradle of his security and sanctuary, awaken me to the favors and kindness that he has bestowed upon me, and held back from me the claws of evil with his hand and his authority.
Thank you, Allah, that we're here feeling so good about all things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
Okay, this passage of the dua that says, Ya man arqadani fi mihadi amnihi wa amani. Mihad means cradle. Why mihad? Because mihad is a safe place for an infant, for a child, for a newborn. And like, the parents of that child take care of that baby, and they put him to sleep, and they make that baby to lie down in the cradle, and that baby is safe. Allah has done the same thing to us. This world is like the cradle, is our cradle, and we can live safely and securely in this world. The next passage reads, وَأَيْقَظَنِي إِلَىٰ مَا مَنَحَنِي بِهِ مِنْ مِنَنِهِ وَإِحْسَانِهِ. Awakened me to the favors and kindness that he has bestowed upon me. So again, we have two opposites. The previous passage was أَرْقَدَنِي, put me to sleep. When we go to sleep, we are usually in a safe place, right? We wouldn't go to sleep in the middle of a desert. We go to our homes in a safe place. And of course, this could be somehow beyond just this physical meaning of being put to sleep in a safe place. It can take many meanings, and not necessarily metaphorical or something symbolic. So we awake, we see the favors and the kindnesses of Allah that he has bestowed upon us. Okay? So we are awake, we are not dreaming of the things that we see in this world. We see Allah's favors. We see that he has given us life, he has given us food. He has given us children and spouses and homes and cities. All of these good things. He has given us rivers, drink, anything that you can imagine, all of the bounties of Allah, we are awakened to these things and we acknowledge that these things have been given to us by Allah. They just didn't appear randomly. Okay? So Allah is the one who has given all of these blessings to us and chose kindness to us. Okay, we'll continue the discussion about this supplication in the next episode of The Ocean of Dua. Thank you very much for listening. I leave you in the care and protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
It's too late. If you haven't spoken up yet, it might be too late for you. This is your call to say something and not let history judge you for what you should have done.
There once was a day when we were shadows in the street, paper thin excuses crumbling at our feet. Screens glowed brightly, selling fear and doubt. The truth bled quietly, seldom spoken out. But today it's on the news again that the Zionist entity has murdered Palestinians and burned their city. Savagery is in their blood, genocide their game. The world is watching live as they enter the hall of shame. Don't they see nations waking up? Don't they see people rising up? Don't they see that we won't bow? It's too late to stop us now. It's too late to stop us now. It's too late. Can't you see the land is breaking? It's too late. Can't you see the children dying? It's too late. Let's not be judged by history. Should have done to save humanity. It's too late. Oh, it's too late. Oh, it's too late. America gives the go-ahead, then it sends in bombs. Israel calls it self-defense and murders without qualms. Since when has killing children become a source of pride? Silence must be broken if you want to turn the tide. It's time we made the right choice. Our lives may be on the line. It's time we raised our voice, chanting free, free Palestine. The police can do what they want to do, detain one or two. The thousands of millions are coming through, a move they cannot undo. Don't they see nations waking up? Don't they see people rising up? Don't they see that we won't bow? It's too late to stop us now. It's too late to stop us now. It's too late. Can't you see the land is breaking? It's too late. Can't you see the children dying? It's too late. Let's not be judged by history for what we should have done to save humanity. It's too late. Oh, it's too
He was the most powerful vice president in the entire history of the United States. And he was also the architect of the Iraq War, a war where, as you know, there were no weapons of mass destruction. Welcome to Gringo. Let's get this show started.
Así empezamos, Gringo.
Secretary of State saying that we're very close to a deal in the Middle East.
We've been talking about this often, of course, that we won the First World War, we won the Second World War.
Is he a Mexican American that is offended by...
The architect of the Iraq War, who just passed away at the age of 84, was one of the most powerful vice presidents in U.S. history, known as Dick Cheney. During the September 11th attacks, he was taken to a secure location to oversee the country's governance from there. However, following his death, the media attempted to sanitize his image, when in truth it marks the passing of a war criminal.
Now that Trump has ordered the so-called Operation Southern Spear as a war against narco-terrorists, it is essential to study Dick Cheney, who has just passed away without facing any consequences. Cheney was the promoter and driving force behind the aggressions similar to those that Trump threatens to unleash. Although Cheney did not target drug traffickers, the strategy remains the same. In several countries, he supported the overthrow of governments he disapproved of. September 11th was high big moment. The mastermind behind the response was Dick Cheney. What was the response? To protect the United States from terrorists. The outcome was war, massacre, bombs, oil business, and the invasion of Iraq, the target.
There is no doubt that Saddam Hussein now has weapons of mass destruction. There is no doubt that he is amassing them to use against our friends, against our allies, and against us.
The weapons of mass destruction that were promised never showed up. Instead, what appeared were hundreds of thousands of corpses and devastation. Cheney's impunity teaches a lesson to the people of the world.
I have two guests whom I greatly appreciate and value for their knowledge not only about Dick Cheney, but also about U.S. foreign policy, particularly in terms of military matters. Here in the studio, I have Mario Barracamonte. Mario Barracamonte is an international analyst, and I welcome you, Mario. It's great to have you in Gringo's studio. And joining us from Colombia, dear friends, is Fernando Suarez del Solar. Fernando Suarez, out of necessity, has become a significant activist against the war, and he is also the father of Jesus, the first Mexican soldier who lost his life in the Iraq War back in March of that fateful 2003. My dear Fernando, it brings me great joy to greet you after several years of not seeing each other.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
In fact, I am the grateful one, and I will start with Mario Barracamonte here in the studio, if you don't mind, Fernando. Mario, Dick Cheney has just passed away at the age of 84, and the media in the United States have tried to whitewash his image. The most they have said is that he betrayed the Republican Party because at the end of his life, he began to ask for votes for Kamala Harris from the Democratic Party. However, they omit all the atrocities that many human beings continue to suffer from on planet Earth, especially the Iraqis, due to the devilish acts he helped unleash in that region of the world.
In fact, Dick Cheney is indeed someone we could label as a war criminal. He is the mastermind, the great intelligence behind this entire mess. Perhaps he is the one who most fervently pushed for the invasion of Iraq. And not just that, but he also unleashed, along with the extraterrestrials, all this hubris and the global disaster of invading seven nations, destroying their sovereignty and causing the deaths of countless people. I believe the level of cynicism is comparable to that of Madeleine Albright, which is sheer audacity. The sacrifice of 500,000 children following the criminal sanctions imposed by the U.S., along with the invasion, was deemed worthwhile by some, whereas others referred to it collateral damage in this very serious matter. This initiated a complete disregard for humanity, establishing a hierarchy of human beings, with Afghans and Iraqis being considered second-class citizens, particularly in light of the controversial events surrounding the Twin Towers. Renowned analyst Rima Sen was one of the first to boldly question the situation, which is now viewed as a coup within the U.S., comparable to the assassination of John F. Kennedy. I believe this marks a true turning point in history, and for some, the beginning of World War III.
Well, I am not sure if you are a lawyer, but you know well that today, justice in the United States stands as the platform above all others. Unfortunately, such individuals often die with absolute impunity.
First of all, it must be made clear that international law doesn't exist for the U.S. and Israel. The USA has always operated under self-imposed rules outside of international organizations that do not serve its interests, while the others are manipulated. Secondly, behind all of this lies a mindset, an idea, a philosophy, a way of perceiving life based on the manifest destiny and the notion of being chosen, of being a peculiar nation selected by God. This belief grants them a sense of impunity and a status that elevates them above the rest of the humanity. They are not subject to international law or any human norms. Instead, they create their own laws, which often allow them to sacrifice those they deem inferior or unchosen.
Poder sacrificar a seres humanos inferiores que ellos y no seleccionados.
Bien, estimados amigos, vamos a pasar con Fernando.
Well, dear friends, we are going to talk with Fernando Suarez del Solar. His son, Jesus, was the first Mexican victim among several others. I interviewed many Mexicans. One of them lost a leg. Others were left mutilated. And some other from lifelong post-traumatic stress disorder and psychiatric issues. In the case of Jesus Suarez, son of Fernando Suarez del Solar, he sadly passed away, being the first Mexican victim. Fernando, it's a pleasure to greet you again. Could you share with us, for those who are hearing your experience for the first time, how it impacted you to the point that you became a frontline activist in the United States against the lies that led to the war?
Well, I need to mention first that I used to tell people that I have problem with this war, even before it started. I told my son many times that as a Mexican, he didn't need to go to a war that I believed was illegal. We had that conversation back in February 2003. However, he told me that he had given his word. His grandfather and I, as his father, had taught him to honor a commitment, so he felt he had to go fulfill it. He thought there wouldn't be a war, that it was just a show of strength, similar to what Donald Trump is doing now with Venezuela. And then the fateful date of March 27th came. The war and invasion began, and on March 27th, my son tragically lost his life due to an illegal American bomb, as per the Geneva Convention, known as cluster bombs. This was devastating for me because I understood that the war was about oil, a geopolitical struggle for territorial dominance. They spoke of weapons of mass destruction, and the vice president emphasized that this was the most dangerous thing in the world, which is why American soldiers, along with the British and other nations, went to war. What happened? The only weapons of mass destruction found were made in the United States, deployed by American planes that bombed cities, schools, and hospitals. I spent 2 months in Iraq in December 2003, and in December 2004, I witnessed those hospitals destroyed by the criminal bombs of the United States. Therefore, we cannot claim that this was about freedom or improvement for the Iraqi people. Sadly, today Iraq remains in a very dire situation.
sigue todavía en una situación muy, muy lamentable.
Si pudiera regresar el tiempo,
if you could turn back time to that moment when you were talking to your son, knowing the harsh truths of an illegal war and everything that has happened since, would you insist more? I know my question might seem a bit silly, since we can't go back to that moment, but given what's already happened, what would you say to Jesus?
Well, surely I would have kidnapped my son instead of convincing him. I would take him to Mexico, cross the border, and kidnap him. The reality is that the American military recruitment system is misleading, especially very deceptive. And it manages to dominate and convince these young people, like my son, who have good intentions and love for their neighbors. They think, I will serve in the army to help children who are not under tyranny, and they leave with that illusion. Unfortunately, when they face reality, it is already too late. For my son, it was too late, and for many soldiers I personally knew, who you also met, others who are mutilated and have had their lives destroyed. Today, we see them living on the streets of the U.S., the most powerful country in the world, which has the highest number of homeless people in its territory. This is very important.
Mario, there is a historical addiction to war in the United States, an addiction in the sense that, as that famous book titled War is a Racket suggests, a book I highly recommend. What do you think about the fact that the United States consistently deceives its own youth, making them believe it's for the homeland and not for business, when in reality it is indeed for business?
It's clear that the main goal of war is business. It's all about the money. However, there are large corporations like Halliburton in Iraq that certainly drive this forward.
Led by Dick Cheney.
Exactly, and it involves Rumsfeld's associates and everyone else in the matter. Additionally, beyond this corrupt elite known as the Deep State, there are all these elements that formed a group which hijacked the public institutions of the U.S., as they were everywhere, in the Pentagon, in the State Department, in the CIA, all over. Regardless of that, it reflects the idea of a cult of violence that I believe is historically rooted in that society, justifying violence and glorifying it. The violence that shapes the youth's upbringing, the violence that serves as a way of perceiving life, the reverence for weapons, and so on. I believe that both elements come together, these corrupt corporations that have spread war everywhere, the general glorification of violence, and the love for it. In the midst of this, there exists a significant hypocrisy, as all of this can be masked and can be deceived many young people, as has been stated here. They can mislead many youths under that hypocritical guise that the United States has operated under, not just now, but for many years. The very invasion of Mexico and the dismemberment of our territory also stems from this. It is not merely a violation of sovereignty, but a disguise that they always use to cloak their actions, which are inherently wrong, yet appear benevolent to everyone. So there is no such democracy, no such freedom, and nothing at all. The only real freedom is what becomes the license of large corporations to rule, first establishing themselves through violence and then ultimately engaging in plunder and imperialist extractivism, which is well known and was inherited from England, because in the end, England practiced that same policy in its empire.
Absolutamente, Fernando.
Absolutely, Fernando. Vice President Dick Cheney, although he served under four U.S. presidents, is undoubtedly thrust into global fame for being the vice president of George W. Bush. He supported torture and claimed there were weapons of mass destruction. I firmly believe, without fear of being wrong, that it was a deliberate lie, not a mistake, as another criminal accomplice, José María Aznar, stated a few years back in Spain. What do you think about this issue? How can such sinister figures die without facing consequences, while the media attempts to clean up the image of murderous individuals who should be in prison, like Tony Blair and Bush himself, among others?
Bueno, definitivamente, como dice, Estados Unidos tiene una doble moral.
Well, it's clear that, as mentioned, the United States has a double standard. It presents a very media-driven narrative on one hand, while on the other, it is invading, attacking, usurping, and stealing. This man who dies in impunity, just like him, several previous U.S. leaders and generals have also died with impunity. The attack on the Twin Towers was, from the very beginning, suggested to be a self-inflicted attack, a coup, as we pointed out. But what is happening in this country, the United States? Unfortunately, the education that has been provided since before the Vietnam War has taught the masses that if you are poor or a minority, you will be at the bottom, serving in the military, while I, as a white, upper-middle-class individual, will be the one in control. What I say becomes law. The doctrines of the United States have always been this way. And today, under Trump's leadership, we are witnessing the full bloom of that total discrimination, the racism that was once silent among white people, now attacking our migrant brothers. This can be traced back to the Vietnam War, where they targeted and kidnapped the Pachucos, those Pachucos, when they killed Salazar.
Yes, Ruben Salazar, back in 1970.
It is well said that history is not being written today. It is being repeated today. That is the issue. Regarding the Iraq War, from my perspective, it stems from my personal experience of losing my son or having gone to Iraq and witnessed death, feeling terrified under bombs. This has been one of the worst massacres committed by the United States, not counting the extermination of Native Americans during the U.S. Midwest invasions.
Junto con Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney autorizó el waterboarding.
Alongside Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney approved waterboarding and other forms of torture, including those that took place in the Abu Ghraib prison, which Seymour Hersh initially exposed and later became globally infamous. Why, with so many examples of this policy and these types of situations, is there still a significant number of people in the world who seem unaffected by it? This question also applies to Mario, who will speak after you. Why is there such indifference? Currently, we are witnessing Mr. Trump together with Mr. Netanyahu committing atrocities in Gaza. Yet there are still people who defend them, Fernando. After this, I will speak with Mario.
Yes, it's similar to what happened in Iraq. When the Americans arrived in Iraq, they claimed they were welcomed with flowers as they toppled the statue of Saddam in the main square of Baghdad. It's exactly the same. People were saying, yes, they are liberating Iraq. We need to support them. We have to back them up. But they didn't see the massacre. What I don't understand about humanity today is that something worse than what happened in Nazi Germany is occurring right now, because all the Palestinians are being killed, including children and women, etc. Thanks to the media, the internet, and platforms like Facebook, everyone is aware, but they always have an excuse. They say we were attacked first. And while the United States claims that this support is good, it suggests that everything is fine. As is mentioned earlier, these two, I mean Israel and the United States, they stand above the law, and they will continue to do so, especially when the United States has a corrupt president, a criminal who has been convicted of 32 or 34 crimes, yet he is the leader of a country that is supposedly the most humane and democratic. I just don't understand American democracy. So what is happening? It seems that the world people are not studying, not reading the history, and they are completely unaware of what's happened in the history. It is repeating itself, and I am afraid. I am very afraid that history is repeating itself. Nowadays, Venezuela, Colombia, Gaza, and there are other places in Africa, etc.
Mario Baracamonte.
Pues yo creo que, en primer lugar,
I believe that, first and foremost, the issue is that impunity has become the norm rather than the exception. Take Kissinger, for instance. I think he is the most sinister figure, dying in his own bed, surrounded by admiration from everyone, which is a recurring theme in the United States, not an exception. In other words, the prevailing morality reflects an inability to judge based on the truth. This ties into how the United States has distorted the truth, preached lies, and normalized them through a system of neuropirates. Essentially, there is a cognitive attack, a systematic propaganda war that began with Edward Bernays, the nephew of Sigmund Freud. Propaganda is everywhere for the United States. Selling a war is no different from selling a product. It has alienated and infantilized a society that has allowed itself to be infantilized, as consumption is essentially the ability to make people desire everything immediately and accept anything, even the most outrageous and absurd things, because we're living in a delusion, in a fantasy. This is the global issue, the disconnection from reality and the power of propaganda, aided by technology, to make people believe that things are exactly the opposite of what they truly are. This is the real danger, as today, war can be peace, lies can be truth, and vice versa. We find ourselves in an Orwellian world, perhaps even worse. As the advisor from the World Economic Forum in Davos pointed out, many naive individuals read Yuval Noah Harari, who advises Klaus Schwab and claims that humans are hackable animals. If this is the level of understanding, if this is how deeply the dignity of humanity is perceived, reducing it to such a condition, then anything is possible. This marks the beginning of our own enslavement, especially with artificial intelligence dominating humanity, which poses a real threat in the hands of those lacking morals, boundaries, and humanity. This is exactly what we are witnessing. Today it is feasible to promote Tony Blair, a war criminal who advocated for this, to lead a corporation in Gaza built on the blood and ruins of the Palestinian people.
Absolutely. We're nearing the end. It's going by quickly.
La propaganda, bien dice el compañero. A mí, por ejemplo...
Yes, propaganda, as my friend rightly points out. For instance, I was the first father of an American soldier, despite not being an American citizen, who went to war, traveling to the very place where he lost his life. When I returned to the United States and began speaking out against the war, explaining the reality of Iraq in schools at that time, that's when the government's propaganda machine started to twist the news. They depicted me as a traitor, an ungrateful one, the person who disrespects his deceased son, who is regarded as a hero for the United States. This propaganda doesn't just affect me. It has impacted for about 23 years now this new generation that is currently on the streets attacking migrants, those who cover their faces in an attempt to, as they claim, cleanse the country. Let's look at history. What Hitler did, the new Hitler is doing the same. Trump, I mean, thanks to propaganda. It's very sad.
True. Gracias a la propaganda. Eso es muy triste.
It's a wound that never heals. I can only imagine it's one of the worst things that can happen to a person. Typically, our children are meant to bury us, not the other way around. Do you have any final words?
Una reflexión final de tu parte?
Sí, cómo no, y más que mi hijo cumpliría años el 16 de noviembre.
Well, what I always tell students is that the best weapon against injustice, the best weapon against violence, is a book under your arm, reading, studying, respecting, and tolerating. Violence breeds violence and leads to death, while education fosters life. Thank you.
Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. This is IRIB English Radio.
که انسان را مطمئن می‌کند ذکر خداست، ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu wa la ilaha illa Allah. Allahu ya Allah wallahu akbar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. You are listening to the Spring of Truth, and I'm Muhammad Liaqat Abbas, your host, and I'm going to present you a beautiful and a very powerful quote from Imam Khomeini. The Imam says, if this 100 million strong Arab population were to join forces, then even America wouldn't be able to stand in their way. A beautiful quote which has a lot of insights. Over here, we have a beautiful ayah from the Holy Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and hold firmly to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala altogether and do not become divided. Unfortunately, brothers and sisters, in today's world, this is what we see, division, not unity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, hold firmly to the rope of Allah altogether. And this is what we are not doing. The nations, the Muslim nations, are not acting upon this verse. They are creating disunity. They are not joining with one another. The rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means the path of Islam. The beautiful path which binds us all together, which keeps us together, the religion of Islam. And in other narrations, we have the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. Wa'tasimu bihablillah. So the hablillah, or the rope of Allah, is none other but the Ahlul Bayt alayhim assalam. If a person is upon the path of Ahlul Bayt alayhim assalam, and the path of Ahlul Bayt is no other different than the path of the Holy Quran. So the Ahlul Bayt, the Holy Quran, the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything is the same. And this very big path, the rope of Allah, teaches us to be together and not become divided. Over here, Imam Khomeini is saying, if this 100 million strong Arab population, what happened to the Arab population? Why aren't they following the religion of Islam? Why aren't they following the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If they were, the population were to join the forces, then even America wouldn't be able to stand in their way. Even the strong forces, even the Western forces, those who claim themselves to be the superpowers, won't be able to stand in front of the Muslim community, which is united like no other day. Over here, it is our responsibility to bring the sticks together. The collective strength of a united community can achieve what is impossible for the individuals.
Ya Rabbana, salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi.
If you see the religion of Islam, you have a lot of ahkam, you have a lot of Islamic laws when it comes to congregation. Example, pray your prayers, do your namaz, do your prayers in congregation with jama'at, right? You have Salatul Mayyit, which is mustahab if it is recited with jama'at, isn't it? You have everything together like Hajj. It is a collective thing. It is a collective duty. Like basically you have a lot of people beside you. It is very important. If you act all alone, then know that there are people and there are communities, there are animalistic featured human beings who want to pounce upon you and bring you down. But if you are acting as one nation, one Muslim nation, with all the millions and billions of people together, then know that no power. There is no power in this world or no superpower in this world who can stand up against you and who can bring you down.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
There was a spring of truth, a selection of Imam Khomeini's viewpoints.
Never forget to say, La ilaha
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is IRIB English Radio. The program is The Gate of Knowledge, and this is your host, Sayyid Salman Naqavi. We are talking about the wise sayings of the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, as compiled in the Nahjul Balagha. And in this episode, we are going to talk about the hadith which has been narrated from him, that he is talking about and about the wonderful creation of the human being. And it tells us of the insight that the Master of the Faithful had about the creation of the human being and the scientific facts which are today being borne out by the discovery and the advancement in science that we have today. So he is quoted as saying, "E'ajabu لهذا الإنسان ينظر بشحم ويتكلم باللحم ويسمع بعظم ويتنفس من خرم." You should be wonder-stricken by the fact that about this human being. How wonderful is this man in his creation, that God has created him. He looks, he sees with fat, the eyes, talks with the tongue, which is of flesh, hears with a bone, and breathes through a hole. So here, four facts about the human body are mentioned by the Master of the Faithful. And this shows how much he knew about the creation of the human being. And we shall discuss this in detail in the next segment.
Nahjul Balagha, also known as the Peak of Eloquence, is a compilation of sermons, letters, and sayings attributed to Imam Ali, peace be upon him, the cousin and son-in-law of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and greetings be upon him and his pure household. Regarded as one of the most authoritative sources of Islamic wisdom and knowledge, this book reflects the profound insight and spiritual teachings of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, on various matters, including ethics, morality, governance, and spirituality. The eloquence and wisdom exhibited in this speech and teachings within Nahjul Balagha have made it a timeless masterpiece that continues to inspire and guide Muslims and non-Muslims alike in their pursuit of truth and enlightenment. All of this is presented to you in the program Gate of Knowledge on Iran Radio.